If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
Esteemed host, Jim Vicious!
Bloodied, crying woman forcibly having her head shaved. It was fucking intense, man.
And Tyler Fudge!
I was like, you mean tell me I can see Tito Santana in 2019? Fuck.
Suplex City Limits!
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 221 of Suplex City Limits for July 7th. 2019. Puff puff pass, it's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious, and he is the original Canadian Destroyer, my co-host.
Yeah, I'm the Canadian Destroyer. I'm the reason why Jim needed a bacchiotomy the other day, because he got destroyed by this Canadian's member. I'm Tyler Fudge.
Shit, how was your Canada Day, man?
It was okay. Canada Day is just Canada Day to me. We don't go all out like you Americans. You know, I see more celebration when I look at the news on July 4th than I do on July 1st.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe if you guys fight England for your independence, you can have an Independence Day too, you know.
Did you know that Canada burned down the White House years ago?
Heard that.
Yes. Nobody really wants to talk about that. And so therefore, Canada is just a polite guy that doesn't brag about their accomplishments. You know what I'm saying? Fuckers trying to steal our gunpowder, you sons of bitches. So we burn down your White House.
Oh, shit. Suplex City Limits available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at The Federation. If you like the show, consider picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. We've got a bunch of designs available. They ship all across this planet with new lower international rates. So
boom, yeah.
Check that out. You can donate on our PayPal, suplexcitylimits@gmail.com. Get yourself a shout-out like Big Body Sam, Deep in Your Snatch Cody Hatch, and Aaron Echoes. Also become a producer on our Patreon. Get yourself a shout-out as well. Caleb, you should see the size of his organ field, Morganfield. He's not balding, Christopher Spaulding. C Money. Be Rad Brad. Our friends at the Smack It Down podcast, check them out everywhere podcasts are found. They cover a lot of shit that we do not, so. Plus, they have sexy Australian accents.
And their toilets go backwards.
Yeah, their toilets go backward. Deshaun, better than Terry Bollea. Infamous Chris Savage. Kick-ass Keith Martin. The Rice-A-Roni Jabroni Ty Loney. Insane Ian Jackson. Jumpin' Jeremy Foltz. And plain vanilla Martin Corns this week. On the show, we will talk, what do we got? We'll talk about the G1 Night 1 that happened last night.
In Dallas, in a very empty arena.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. We've got the top three. We've got some Mark Tank news of the week and all kinds of shit. So we are glad that you've joined us. Let's get into this shit as we do every week with the top three after a word from our sponsor.
Get into all the sounds and action of the WCW with the Electronic Nitro Wrestling Arena. You activate the sound. Hear the call of the Wolfpack as Kevin Nash struts up the runway. Launch Macho Man from the top turnbuckle. Hit the ropes and hear the action as you fire Goldberg across the ring.
It sounds just like I'm at a match.
Lower in Sting from the rafters. Hear the count as you pin your opponent. This is no ordinary ring. It's the best WCW wrestling ring ever.
Who's next?
The new WCW Electronic Nitro Wrestling Arena. Figures sold separately. Batteries not included.
Suplex City Limits.
Top three.
Suplex City Limits top three, our top three matches of the week. I feel like that ref was fast on the three count. That's a fast three count.
It was. I mean, I feel like they need to get a little bit more experienced refs in their commercials, but hey.
Yeah. Like a Nick Patrick kind of fucking three count.
I mean, yeah, that was probably around. No, it was probably a little newer than the Nick Patrick ref being heel. But that was 1996, 97. So I don't know. I don't know when. I can't got no visual cues for these action figures, Jim.
Yeah. Lads. See, well, it's Wolfpack, so that'll give you an idea, but no
That's
less.
That's true.
This week's top three, exclusively from the G1 show.
No.
Started off with Ospreay and Archer.
What a fucking match.
Dude, right? I was really surprised, and I saw a lot of people talking about, I felt the same way. I was like, holy shit, this is the first time I viewed Archer as anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Like, look at him where he was 15 years ago. He was in TNA as Lance Archer there as well. He teamed up with Jimmy Rave to be the Rock and Rave Connection. He was just all sorts of garbage with a tramp stamp, and thank God he's got that tramp stamp covered up now. It's just become a mound with crosses. So, I mean, you do what you got to do to get rid of the embarrassment on your body, right? But fuck.
They would fucking, seriously though, TNA had a tag team that used the word connection. It was two things and then connection.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The Rock and Rave Connection. They came out with Guitar Hero controllers.
No, but I'm saying, like, to be that blatant of the Rock and Sock Connection.
Oh yes.
Fuck.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's otherworldly, but like, Lance Archer was just nothing for years in TNA. He goes to WWE. They didn't do nothing with him. And he's a physically huge guy. He's you look at him, it's just like, oh shit, you're scary looking. And it's like over the last couple of years, he's finally realized that his size is more geared towards being a scary presence than trying to be this cool, long-haired rocker dude.
Mm. He had a new look here as well, which I actually didn't really think much of the look. I thought the hair was kind of, I don't know.
It's a little goofy, but at the same time, at least you remember him. Like, look at Jeff Hardy's hair was goofy as fuck, always.
Yeah.
Right? But you remember
It was cool to see. I mean, I don't know. He must usually do the claw. I watched New Japan forever, and it's like, how many Archer Watt matches? Because he's not really in high-profile singles matches ever.
No, never.
But he does the claw, which was kind of cool because it was in Dallas, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's...
It's a lack when you're that big, the claw is not really what we come to see. I want to see him do something marvelous with his size.
He's got the blackout is his finish, which.
Well, let's one thing I will give him, he's got a monstrous choke slam. Like that choke slam on the Ospreay through the table that came out of nowhere was fantastic. Not to mention this was after that the Nando's flip or whatever the fuck that he scrapes his face off of the apron.
Yeah, that was really good, man. Surprising, you know, he kicks out of the Os Cutter. Ospreay kicks out of the Blackout. He gets a super back Blackout. As I always say, let's call it right. It's an Avalanche Blackout.
Yes.
And for the claw, for a pin, wins. Surprised he beat Ospreay. I couldn't believe it.
Well, and I went into this match just assuming that he was going to win just because it's Dallas, it's Lance Archer. He's got a new look now. As soon as I seen him, I was like, oh, he's winning this match because for the only reason that Will Ospreay just came from the juniors tournament, he's just entering the heavyweight division now. It's a much better story to be told that Will Ospreay loses his first few matches and then starts gaining his footing towards the end of the G1 where he starts to get his confidence, saying, you know, I can hang with these big boys. But the thing is, this sets up a match between him and Lance Archer later, which I would be against seeing again. Yeah, I really like what they did. I think Lance Archer is going to get a decent push after this, and Will Ospreay made him look like a star, which Seth Rollins could not make Baron Corbin look like a star. So,
Oh, shit. It's true, though.
Yep.
It is fucking
true. That's truth.
Ospreay is operating at, like, peak level, man. Just watching him in this match, it's like, it's so ridiculous the level of which this guy is operating right now.
Yeah, he's on another plane.
It's so ridiculous, the shit he does, and it just looks well, it doesn't look effortless because obviously he's selling in there, but he could make it look effortless.
Yes. Oh, 100%. It's like Ricochet makes it look effortless, only between the notes, Ospreay has developed into a more full-fledged wrestler than Ricochet, in my opinion.
I'd say Ospreay's absolutely a better overall package than Ricochet.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No videos of him fingering his bum, for one.
No, and no great big hand action figures either. So,
is that real or is that a joke?
That's
dude?
Real. That's real. That's the because nowadays they've got the fighting hands and the posable hands for their elite action figures, so you can swap them out. And that's the pose hand that he's got. It must be like left from like a fucking giant Gonzalez elite retro figure or something.
I thought somebody was joking around and they're like, oh, look, it'll be funny. We put this giant hand on him, you know, because he fingers his bum and stuff.
Honestly, I hope it's not a joke. I really hope.
With extra large bum fingering hand.
I'm practicing.
I've been practicing.
Oh, man. That's fantastic.
But yeah, I was surprised. The general consensus, it seemed, on Twitter was a lot of people saying the same thing. Like, never thought shit of Archer before, but goddamn, yeah, I came out impressed.
I never hated him. I never really liked him. He was just always middle of the road. When him and Davey Boy would get together against a different tag team that wasn't Guerrillas of Destiny, I'd be like, okay, cool, I'll watch this match. Because both of them were imposing figures. Lance Archer really just does a great job with the crowd, just making them just feel scared because he is an imposing guy. And he looks like something from Mad Max now. I seen somebody say he looks like Vicky Haskins, which is Mark Haskins' wife. And she replied with without giant tits.
He kind of reminds me of like Undertaker when Undertaker could move. Is that weird?
Oh, yeah. Like you mean like Gothic just, Undertaker in the late 90s? Or are we talking
just
about early
being,
Undertaker?
Just build-wise, you know, being a taller...
Yeah,
big guy, but you know, but can still move, and I mean, just reminded me of him.
He really upsold the Undertaker on that old school, where he walked the whole rope and then decided he was going to walk some more. You know what I mean?
So, oh, that's right. Actually, I've kind of forgot about that. Yeah, that might have been part of it, but just the way he moved and he walked and shit, he reminded me of him.
Yeah, I can see that 100%. He's really good. Like the only person I remember seeing doing that, I believe, was Tajiri or something, wasn't it? He would walk the whole length of the rope, or somebody would. Shinzaki, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I think he used to walk the rope, yeah. But either way, pretty fucking cool. What was your number two match of the show?
My number two match actually is Lance Archer and Will Ospreay. I would say my number three match was Kenta and Kota Ibushi, but that's the one you're baiting me on.
I think that was my favorite match.
Really? I mean, I understand why.
Me caring about a match... Like, being excited about it adds a lot to it, you know, for me.
I get that, 100%.
Tanahashi Okada, like, as big of a matchup as that is, it's like, I've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess we'll talk about Kenta versus Ibushi.
We can talk about Okada and Tanahashi if you want to. But
I'm good.
The Kenta and Kota Ibushi match, I thought Kenta looked good. He didn't look great. But I mean, look at him. He's so old. You know what I mean? Like, he's not so old, but he's been beat up so much. He's been wrestling since 2000.
Yeah.
And just to hear the names that he was trained by, you know, they dropped Kenta Kobashi and Takayama. It's like, oh boy, Jesus. You know, like, me and Travis were talking about it in this match because we watched it together. It's like, who did the shorts first, Samoa Joe or Kenta? And we deciphered that Kenta did the checkered shorts first.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
A lot of fucking American indie guys stole shit from Kenta.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, CM Punk.
Yeah, right. Steal all kinds of shit from Kenta. I thought it was somebody in the group, I think it was fucking Fibula JD, was like, is Kenta back? You know, like, and all I do is quote Kenta and say, like, I am fucking Kenta.
Yeah, I am fucking Kenta.
He was Kenta.
He
was awesome.
Great kicks. He had some great diving, like the double foot to the back while Kota was draped over the apron. I thought was fantastic. The kicks were there. He's definitely not the old Kenta still. You know what I mean? He'll never be that because that was years ago with a completely different body. But he looked like a thicker Kenta. he looked almost like he had Kenta Kobashi's upper body instead of Kenta Kobayashi's upper body. You know,
so. Yeah, he's gained some weight over. I mean, he was like that in WWE as well. He's a little bigger than he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really good. OG Kenta, I thought
he was even wearing OG Kenta trunks. Those trunks were trunks he was using like 2011.
Yeah, the crowd was super hot for both guys, even going so far as to chant both these guys.
yeah, which is something you'd never see in Japan. And both of these guys probably had no idea what that chant meant. So,
yeah, I thought it was really good, man. Kenta goes over. Another surprise for me, at least. I was surprised.
We'll see. And then another thing for me is I assumed Kenta would win just because it's his first match. But you can't be sure of anything when it's Kota Ibushi.
All right.
So I expect Kenta really to have a decent showing, though.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. As far as you're not going to get super old school Kenta, obviously, but this is way better than Hideo Itami.
Oh, yeah. It was much better than Hideo Itami. Much better.
And the final match in our top three, Tanahashi versus Okada.
Yes. The reason why I would give this one the best match is just because of the crowd's reaction.
Yeah.
This crowd wanted, the American crowd in general for years have wanted to see an Okada-Tanahashi match full-fledged, you know, just what they do. It's something that I'm shocked that they didn't do 6 months ago or 4 months ago at the MSG show. That, to me, screamed the perfect time to do this match in MSG in front of all those fans, Okada Tanahashi. But we get it here in Dallas. Obviously, it wasn't that good of a selling feature because nobody really showed up. But other than that, you know, I thought the match told a good story of the fledgling aged Tanahashi trying to hold on to his ace stature and trying to win it back, but he's facing the best in the world, Okada, and that's just not going to happen.
Dude, Tanahashi looks so broken down.
He does, and to me, though, that's part of the charm to it, because he's so broken down, legitimately, you see it, and it just adds to the story.
I don't know. We've said it a million times, but it's like, how is he going to survive the G1?
I think, well-placed nothing matches, like with guys akin to Toriano, maybe do a just quick match against Archer where Archer beats him in 10 seconds or something, you know what I mean? Hits him with a great big boot, chokeslam, boom, done.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it where you can just save his body for the bigger matches in the G1, and hopefully that's what they do, but you never
know. He worked from the center of the ring in this one. He did. He didn't run ropes. He didn't do. It stood in the middle. Okada did everything else.
Well, he did some running of the ropes. Now, mind you, it was a little painful to watch him run the ropes, but still.
He pulled out the high fly flow to the outside.
He did, which scares me every time because it's like, which one of his hips are going to give out on this one?
Okada. I mean, Okada did like superhero catch on that.
Oh, yeah. No, he made sure that Tanahashi did not take a tumble. It was a good, safe match.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So that's our top three. We might as well talk about the rest of the show. As you mentioned, pretty empty, but that place is fucking huge.
Yeah, it's American Airlines Arena, you know what I mean? Like, they use this arena because Mark Cuban owns it, he owns the Mavericks, he owns Access Television, he's on Shark Den, the show where we stole the fucking theme song from Mark Tank.
Shark Tank, not Shark Den.
It's Dragon's Den in Canada, give me a fucking break.
It is the American Airlines Center.
Oh.
American Airlines Arena is in Miami.
Oh, sorry.
That's where I believe the Heat play, but no less.
My bad.
He doesn't own this building either. The city of Dallas owns it, but obviously he's got, you know, a big in there. So
yeah.
That's why they ran this building. You know, people are like, oh, it wasn't sold out. Like, I mean, as much as they'd love to, I don't think they ever thought, hey, we're going to sell 20,000 tickets.
this thing does 16,000 people for a basketball game. You know what I mean? So, like, You're going to have a lot of fucking people in there. You got a lot of tickets to sell. But mind you, this show could have been greatly helped with a darker ambiance so you couldn't see all those empty seats by the entrance. Or some more curtains. Make the curtains a little bit more drawn. Take people from the upper bowl, filter them down the down around the inner bowl. You could have made it look a lot better, but
why is the crowd so fucking bright, dude?
Right, like this is a New Japan show. The crowds are never bright in New Japan.
Yeah, well, it's bullshit access TV, fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it! I hate these shows because their work sucks. Their camera work sucks.
Yeah.
They're missing shit. They're doing all this. Plus, I had to sign up for a trial of Sling to watch it live, which. Had I known it was going to be on New Japan World 25 minutes later, I would have just kept playing fucking Bloodstained and shit.
Was it really that quick?
Yeah, 25 minutes, someone told me.
Oh, wow. How about next time? How do you watch it when you're watching it on New Japan World? Is it your Xbox?
Yeah, I watched it through Microsoft Edge on Xbox One.
Because I was going to say I'd give you my VPN login, but that's not going to work for your Microsoft Edge.
No. I watch everything on there. I watch Impact on there, the Impact service that I fucking, it was like, oh, let's bang out some shows for pay-per-view take two before I get charged. Well, and fuck, now I got charged. Cock. Anyway. But yeah, the arena, there was still, I think, a decent amount of people there.
Oh, yeah. There's still almost pushing 5,000 people there. That's a good number. Like, when you take the Japanese shows, like, they would have done a better crowd in Japan for the opening night of the G1. But at the same time, like pushing 5,000, that's more than Cork and Hall. That's more than it might not be more than Sumo Hall, but they run Cork and Hall throughout the G1 many times.
Yeah,
and they got a deal on the venue, so the markup that they get on these tickets are much higher than they would if they actually rented this place. So,
a lot of folks were quick to point out how many empty seats there were. Where I would suggest maybe. Think about the fact that there were 5,000 people there for New Japan in Dallas, Texas.
This was more than stomping grounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When you look at those grass differences, like how you have WWE on weekly television all throughout America, they could only draw $39,000 people for a pay-per-view. New Japan, who has barely any television in the States, they run Friday or Saturday nights on Access, which a quarter of the people get. They did 5,000. So it was weird. I get it. Weird.
That is weird. They also announced in this show that they will be doing Boston, Philadelphia, and New York City in the Hammerstein, no less.
Yes. Yes. That's going to be a beautiful show. New Japan doing a Hammerstein ballroom show. Poof.
Yeah. I think B-Rad Brad said he's going to try to go to that. So.
I hope he does because that would be great. I'd love to hear from B-Rad Brad after that show.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Wear a Suplex City Limits shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got so many t-shirts, like, he might be able to find the Suplex City Limits t-shirt at that point, though.
Oh, shit, right? He owns...
lost in the sea of t-shirts in the closet.
Yeah. Number two, dude. Number two pro wrestling tees purchaser last year.
B-Rad Brad was...
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, he was the number two.
Fucking bravo to you. Man, oh man, that's intense.
Supported a lot of wrestlers, a lot of podcasts.
Yep.
Bad motherfucker.
Fucking A.
So, salute yeah, you, so sir. They announced those shows. Those will be cool. Ring of Honor is not part of them because they want to sell tickets.
Yes, and thank God. I was going to mention that because that was reported by Mike Johnson of PW Insider that...
Yeah.
And so happy to see.
I would be less apt to go if half the show was going to be like fucking dumbass ROH TNA stuff.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Because this is, you said it right. This is not ROH. This is ROH being TNA.
Yeah.
It's like TNA became ROH. It's like they switched bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So that's awesome. I mean, what are they going to do? These are in September, what is it, I'm trying to think of what the actual name of these shows
is. Is it the Destruction Tour? Because I know that they do the Kings of Pro Wrestling match, they do that in September. Maybe, I don't know if it's the Destruction Tour or not, but I can't think of... Power Struggle?
I don't know. But why is that the voice they use for these commercials? I don't get it, dude. The commercial is like, oh, New Japan Pro Wrestling! Boston, Massachusetts. What are you? Why do you have that? Why isn't Kevin Kelly doing? I don't get it.
I don't know either, but I mean, I have a soft spot for the pro wrestler.
I love it too. Unleashed.
It's Fighting Spirit Unleashed, purpose. By the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that's the case. It's like this. There's a super rare PlayStation 1 game. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's called Power Shovel.
Okay.
Super Japanese. It's like barely converted to English, but it's gonna get Power Shovel Ninimala.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we'll see. Maybe it's telling that they don't want Ring of Honor. They're like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I get that 100%. It's what I want. I don't want them to be involved with Ring of Honor if this is what Ring of Honor is putting out. I still don't see anything with AEW being involved, though. You know what I mean? I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. What else do we have on this show that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, there's not really a huge amount. Like, I thought that I really liked seeing Ishii and Cobb go at it in their tag team match. That was the highlight to me of the undercard, was Cobb and Ishii. Not saying that the Gorillas of Destiny and Sho and Yo wasn't a good match. It was entertaining. It was fun. But, you know, nothing to go out of your way to see.
It was cool seeing Liger. They played his song. He kind of,
yeah, you
know, said goodbye and everything. So
yeah, and then that's really what he's there for right now. You know, just doing his whole retirement run. Then you see guys like Yoshihashi and Chase Owens in matches, and I automatically fast forward because I'm not into that. You know, I don't care. I didn't see the Goto Hashi and Jay White and Chase Owens match. Now I did see brief glimpses of it. Jay White seemed to be doing great heel work. The crowd seemed to hate him.
Yeah, there was five singles matches in the G1. Those are the main points. Fat Fuck Fale defeated Evil.
What a shame! And,
what an a okay shame. Match. I watched it and it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Sonata defeated Sabre Jr. in a really good match. A lot of people were saying, like, you know, one of the top three. It would be, but I don't like Zack Sabre Jr. that much. So
yeah, I understand Zack Sabre Jr.'s comments. Like, doing this is like, it's like doing Shakespeare to dogs to American
fans.
I thought that was a great quote because it's so true.
He's a great fucking heel. He was doing a lot of shit in this match that was like really great.
Yeah, my only qualm with Zack Sabre Jr. is usually he can't be a heel unless he's saying curse words. That's his real heel spot, is like fucking cunt, right? It's like, well, I mean, like, that's cool and all for New Japan, but like, what would you do if you couldn't do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like, he's kind of fucking,
he's
fucking with the fans.
Yeah.
About getting back in the ring, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, he's a good character. I mean, his matches are all the same to me. You know, I'd like to see a little bit more variety, but every now and then you'll get him in a match with Okada and it becomes a really good match. But Zack Sabre Jr. needs somebody tremendous to have a great match, in my opinion. Mm. That's because it needs to, it adds more to his rolling around style. Because it's all just him getting twisted up in the pretzels, or somebody, him twisting somebody up in a pretzel. And it's like, okay, well, I've seen all this before.
I thought he had really great chemistry with Sonata. I think Sonata's also really turned a corner this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he went from being a guy that I never really, I was like, to, like, I feel like they could make him IWGP heavyweight champion, and people wouldn't even bat an eye at it at this point.
I wouldn't be opposed to him winning the G1 or winning the New Japan Cup next year, one of the two.
Is it weird that I want Juice Robinson to win the G1?
It gets a little weird, but with all the people that are in the G1 this year. But I understand the charm, because Juice Robinson has so much charm and charisma.
Dude, when he lost the IC belt and shit, that after the match promo, you know, I've lost the only thing that fucking matters to me, and like, it's like so good.
Oh yeah. You know, he's good. A good character, good talker. I mean, the time that he spent under Dusty obviously paid off.
Yeah, G1 is awesome, and I think in the past, it's some of the years it's like, I don't really keep up with it. This year, man, there's so many new people and new matchups. Like, I'm excited to go for the fucking ride this year.
Yeah, we still got Shingo Takagi in the G1 to see. We still got Moxley's stuff in the G1. There's so many more people left to go that you know, Goto's sure going to have some great matches. Ishii and Cobb and all that together. Oh, God. Damn. It's going to be so good. Yeah. So good.
We'll be here every week to talk about that shit. So, but yeah, if you got anything else on there, that's all I got.
For as when it comes to the G1, no. No, I don't think. Overall, I will say, decent show. And we failed to mention, too, the night after the Hammerstein Ballroom, they're doing ECW Arena.
Oh, is that where they're doing it in Philly?
Yep.
What the fuck, dude? That's going to be awesome. Are these going to be on?
I would imagine. I can't
Access
see why they wouldn't.
Japan or?
Maybe one. One might be on Access. I'm going to check the calendar here and see what the day though, because probably the Saturday show will probably show up on Access.
Oh sure, yeah. We'll see. It's a long ways off, but
yeah.
Next show for New Japan, we've got next night of G1, July 13th. So they got a week off here.
Yes, which is, I mean, good. Gets the guys a little rest after that long flight. So
on that show,
the 28th is a Saturday show. So the Hammerstein Ballroom is probably going to be on Access.
Dope. The next show, though, Juice Robinson versus Shingo Takagi. Moxley versus Taichi, Yano versus Naito, Ishii versus Cobb.
Yeah, come on.
And Goto versus Jay White. So
see, it's going to be a great show. Now
Ishii and Cobb, dude.
That's my main event.
Yeah, it's second from the top.
Yeah, so. I really hope Moxley comes in and just wipes the floor with Taichi because I don't want to see a long Taichi match. I really don't.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
So I mean that's your New Japan roundup here. So we got the next installment of the G1 next week, and we'll be probably talking about that then. And other than that, that's New Japan roundup and a nice little button.
Well, it's getting crazy then, because it's the 13th, 14th, and 15th they have shows.
But like, at that point in time, too, though, the whole card doesn't really need to be watched. You can watch just the couple intriguing matches, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I usually do. I won't watch any of the Tai Chi matches after the John Moxley match. So that's an easy one to skip. The Bad Luck Fale matches I don't usually watch, unless it's like a Bad Luck Fale and Okada. But you know, that's about it. So I mean, there's easy skippable matches, but the bulk of them are going to be fantastic with the new talent. Oh,
there it is. So move on from there. Let's get into this week's news.
This week in the news, changes to Triple Mania's card due to politics, eh? A new MLW champion. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to us. What do we want to start it off? What's the big story? Lucha Libre legend, Suplex City Limits Hall of Famer, Pero Aguayo Sr. passed away this week.
Yes, yes he did. At the age of 72?
Yeah. Dude was a giant fucking star in Mexico.
And to all you chumps out there, first ever WWF Light Heavyweight Champion. If you need that affirmation on him.
Mm. Yeah, although the pre-1997 title reigns are not included in their official history.
what a fucking joke. Well, it's because that title got absorbed into the J Cup triple crown or something like that, and it was used, like Ultimate Dragon carried it around for years. Like it might have been on Nitro.
Oh really?
It might have, because that was all the titles that he would have. So like you know what I mean, like when he had all those titles in Japan, didn't he carry a bunch of them over to WCW at one point in time and wear them on a Nitro or something like that?
Yeah, he wear like 9 belts.
Yeah, so like one of those should have been the WWF Light Heavyweight title.
Yeah. When I was young, it was like, holy fuck, look at this guy.
Right? You'd see that fucking photo belt. And it was like, I think I should like him.
So, you know, Pero Aguayo Sr. Also, you know, obviously Pero Aguayo Jr. died a few years back, so...
Yes.
That's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, he lost his mind anyways, so I mean, there's that one point in time where he's like, yeah, yeah, you're better off dead. You know, he didn't know where he, I think it was dementia or something like that.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
He doesn't have a good memory, I don't think. Like, his brain just didn't work very well at the end.
Mm. That's interesting.
I remember reading in the Observer this week, Dave said something about the last, or in 2005 when he seen him wrestle, he just had to look confused. You could tell by looking at him that he wasn't all there.
Mm.
So I don't know.
There you go. Let's stick in Mexico here for the AAA card was announced. What change were you talking about? What was that about? I don't know if I've heard that.
This was just on a thing I read this morning. Cody Rhodes and MJF will still be making their AAA debuts at the next television taping. Never mind. It's not the Triple Mania card. My bad. My bad. I read it wrong.
Yeah, Triple Mania is coming up here. We'll stream live on Twitch, featuring both English and Spanish commentary. Let's hope they actually have real English commentators this time. Man. Not that one guy.
Hey, we're going to the match.
Yeah, see, I told you it was George Lopez's fucking brother-in-law. Told you.
He's got a really high voice for how big he is.
Get fucking Luis Guzman or something. Fuck.
It's a lariat from Pentagon.
Really bad, dude.
It was horrible. Like, it turned me from it. Like, I will. Yeah. I'm not going to start watching Triple Mania live. I'm going to wait and see.
Dude, I'll be
texting
shit.
Jim, just like, Jim, who's commentating? George.
I've been watching Triple Mania live every year for fucking ever.
Ever.
So. I think I remember paying money one year to watch it live.
You're a gem, man. You're a gem.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good card. It's coming up here. I don't know why the date's not on this fucking thing that I'm looking at.
You probably don't know.
August 3rd, bitch.
Bitch.
But yeah, you got Blue Demon Jr. versus Dr. Wagner Jr. in a mask versus hair match. That should be cool. I love Dr. Wagner Jr., so he'll probably lose his hair here.
You think so? Because wasn't Blue Demon the one that took his mask?
Dude, they're not going to unmask Blue Demon Jr., I don't think. I don't see that happening.
I'm not a huge Lucha Libre know-it-all, so it was just a thought. I don't know.
Two juniors, man. That's cool, too. Yeah, both their fathers are legends.
Yeah.
Both their fathers are Suplex City Limits Hall of Famers, as is Dr. Wagner Jr. I think Blue Demon Jr. is as well. So there you go. Anyway. Young Bucks and Kenny Omega will be taking on Pentagon, Phoenix, and Laredo Kid again.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
Me too. And for all you guys that didn't like the Street Fighter stuff, this is probably going to be the match for you.
We've got a really interesting one. Kane Velasquez, former UFC heavyweight champion Kane Velasquez, who has been training for wrestling for at least a year or so now.
Because he lives in Mexico, right? Because he's from Mexico. Yeah.
He will be teaming up with Cody Rhodes and Psycho Clown to take on Tejano Jr., Taurus, and TBA. So we'll still see who the last person is.
Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, that's crazy, man. I don't know. How is Rhodes teamed up with Velasquez and Psycho Clown? Like, how are they going to make that happen?
It seems so weird. Yeah. Because, like, I seen Cody Rhodes on the poster, and I read the card, and I was like, where was Cody? Like, why is he on the poster if he's not in the cart? I was like, that's a real blatant marketing scam right there. And I'm just reading through. I think I read it through like six times. And then I found Cody. Because, like, I was skipping over that match because, like, I got Kane Velasquez and all these other guys. It's like, where does Cody fit in here? And it's like, oh, never mind. Okay, he is there.
Yeah, there's a 7-way women's match. I assume for the belt. It doesn't say here, but I'm sure that that's the case. Standouts of which are Taya Valkyrie, Tessa Blanchard, Fabi Apache, that broad who got her head shaved last year or whatever, 2 years ago. Bloodied, crying woman forcibly having her head shaved. It was fucking intense, man.
It was fucking murder. It's nightmare fuel, fat fuel for some people.
Yeah. You also got a multiple man, La Parca, Pagano. Fucking Pagano sucks.
So
goddamn
La Parca.
No way. Yes, LA Park. Or is it La Parca? I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
Either way, LA Park sucks too.
Oh, fuck no.
He's a. No, fuck Jesus Christ.
He's awesome. He's fat and old, but he's fucking awesome still. Pagalo, Puma King, Aerostar, Drago in a Copa Triple Mania Battle Royale.
My question is, what does Aerostar jump off of this time?
I don't know. Is this the match that's like a cage?
I have no idea.
Where it's like a rumble, but a cage, like you got to get out of the cage. I don't know. It's a weird fucking thing. Dude, this one is going to fucking... So it's a bunch of people. Doesn't really matter who. But they're taking on... Wait. Okay, so one team is Mocha, Cota Jr., Carta Brava Jr., Pimpinella Arscarlata, who's one of my favorites, Mamba Maximo, and Tito fucking Santana. Dude, what?
Yeah, fucking that intrigued awesome. Me too. I was like, you mean tell me I can see Tito Santana in 2019? Fuck.
Yeah, why hasn't he been wrestling down in Mexico anyway, like all the time?
Isn't he a teacher?
Yeah, he is like a math teacher or something.
Yeah. Fucking A. I remember Tito Santana being like one of my favorites as a kid.
As when he was El Matador? Or?
No, before when he was with like fucking when he was IC champion and shit.
I wonder what year that was, because I remember when the El Matador thing goes, I was like, holy fuck, man. Tito Santana's like, he's a bullfighter now. This is crazy. You know? I remember being a young kid and believing that. You know? Holy fantastic. Shit. I don't know how that helps you in pro wrestling, but it's still pretty it's, cool.
Yeah, right. Oh, fuck. It took, because like, we were different ages. Like, to me, that wasn't Tito Santana. I look at it and it's like, kind of looks like Tito Santana, but Tito Santana is Tito Santana, not El Matador.
It's well, like... he was El Matador, Tito Santana.
Yeah, but I was like, I wasn't very old, Jim. Like, you got to understand, guess. I was born in 87.
Yeah. In other news, Alex Shelley returns to Ring of Honor by surprise.
Yes.
Out of retirement.
Must have finished school.
He did finish school. Yeah.
School's out of summer, can't... baby.
If we don't get Shelley and Saban back together for a Machine Guns run...
Yeah, it's stupid. You got
in AEW, you can go fuck off with this.
We're not going to get it, I don't think.
I don't think so, because Saban works backstage at Impact, I've heard.
Oh, really? Well, that's weird.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
Fair enough. What's the point of Alex Shelley? What's the point of Alex Shelley coming back if Chris Saban can't team up with him?
I don't know.
I don't care about Alex Shelley that much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see an Alex Shelley singles push. That sounds horrible as all hell.
I mean, remember when they tried with Saban in Japan?
Yeah, in the Best of Super Juniors last year.
Yeah, and it was like, this is going to be awesome. And then it was like,
oh, wait, no, never mind. He needs Alex Shelley.
This isn't that awesome. Yeah, right. But yeah, hopefully it ends up in a tag reunion and them going through AEW, because I want to see them versus like all those teams. Evans and Angelico versus the Machine Guns.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lucha Brothers.
It would be a slew of fantastic matchups.
Yeah. So that's cool. Hopefully that happens. What else you got?
Let's see here. News came out that Moxley's 3-year deal with AEW has a opt-out option after his first year.
He can leave, huh?
Yeah, he can just up and leave. Which, I mean, I bet you that comes a lot from just being afraid of long-term contracts working with the WWE.
Yeah, I can see it, man. Where are you going to go, though? There's nowhere else to go.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, he could do New Japan full-time, but that just seems like a lot of work. Flying to Japan all the time, getting your ass beat.
He seems really happy so far.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, and he's doing just these no-name, like, he's doing NEW a bunch, and he seems to be making a killing on the indies for the little bits that he's doing.
Showed up to fucking call out, God damn it, what's that dude's name?
Killer Cross,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's some show. I don't know who. I don't know how these indie promoters pay for these guys.
Oh man, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, to me, there shouldn't be the money to get Jon Moxley and Killer Cross on your indie show. But hey,
it's weird, right? Like, how do you pull that off? Yeah, gotta be paying off the ass,
right?
You would think. Well, or Moxley just interested in doing things that are fun.
And maybe it's, yeah, maybe AEW is getting, just to keep the word of AEW going, they send their guys out to different indies. And AEW pays them just for publicity or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what they do, but it seems to be okay.
Reports are coming out that Gallows and Anderson have re-signed with WWE, which really honestly surprised me.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would go back to Japan, but I thought for sure they would go to AEW.
I was thinking so as well. Like myself, I have really not much interest in seeing Luke Gallows wrestle, but Carl Anderson himself, I am a fan of. But in WWE, you know what? They signed this contract, and then all of a sudden they're back as the club with AJ. So
they turned down, allegedly turned down $500,000 when it first came up. Remember that came up earlier this year?
Yeah.
So these two guys got fucking paid.
Yeah.
And they're just going to go out on the road and have, you know, matches on house shows. Well, maybe now they'll get a push. They actually kind of did a club thing on Raw. So
AJ Styles turned heel or whatever.
I don't know what fucking show. Raw, I guess.
I think it was Raw, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I didn't watch it, but I read about it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, whatever. You know, it sucks because I was listening to Talking Shop again, going back through the episodes of that. And it's the best wrestling podcast ever.
It was really fun. It was really
so much fun. And there was only like 20-some episodes, you know?
Yeah. It was a highlight for me, too. I used to love listening to those shows. It was just debauchery.
Yeah. Super entertaining. So I guess there's that. So fuck them for 5 years.
Fuck them for 5 years, he says.
What else you got?
Jacob Fatu became the new MLW World Heavyweight Champion after Kings of the Coliseum event when he pinned Filthy Tom Lawler. I also like that name, Kings of the Coliseum, because that was the first New Japan, or was it All Japan video game that I owned? Me and Travis had an All Japan and a New Japan video game. Wrestle Kingdom. It had Brock Lesnar and Umaga in it. And Shelton Benjamin, I think. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But then Kings of Coliseum was one with like Muda and Kobashi and Misawa. So.
There you go. Yeah, Jacob Fatu. It's an interesting move. He's really good and shit. Also in MLW, Georgia Smith joins the team there as well. I guess she'll probably be doing fucking
backstage stuff. Probably. Davey Boy's sister.
Yeah.
Has she done anything in wrestling before?
I don't know. Not that I'm aware of.
Fair enough.
I don't know what she does.
Davey's just getting everybody jobs.
Yeah, hooking them up.
Yeah, hooking them up with tracksuits and shit.
Yeah. But
she better wear a tracksuit.
I don't know. I don't know if I got on the news. It was kind of a slow news week.
It was a really slow news week. To tell you how slow this news week was, I also have, for my last bit, Mara Fuji tweeted out that he had dinner with Sasha Banks in Japan. Him and Sasha have a good time.
That's weird.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. The hell is she in Japan for?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So there's that. I guess that's it for the news.
Yeah, no, there was very little news this week other than the big thing was Paraguayo Senior.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Indeed, sir. So let's keep moving. Let's take a little dip into Mark Tank after a word from another sponsor.
Big match of my house. I'll bring my guys. You have yours. I've got Junkyard Dog.
It's World Wrestling Federation Superstars.
I've got Brutus Beefcake.
Here's Jordan the Animal Steel.
I've got Great Hammer Valentine.
Ricky the Dragon Steel.
They're so real.
And Rowdy Rod Piper.
Can you tell the difference? Wrestling Superstars, they're for real. Each sold separately from LJN. Yeah!
But Mark is a guy that pays his last $20 on crack cocaine. But Mark is a guy that believes that OJ did do it.
Mark Tank, where we read Mark comments off social media as they are typed for everyone's enjoyment. So, got a mixed bag this week. Got all kinds of different shit. Let's get into it here.
Let's do it.
Back up here. That commercial was like fucking loud.
yeah, they were a little loud this week. You guys wouldn't know because it's going to be the same for you. So,
yeah. A lot of shit about the revolutionary segment of Lashley and Strowman.
Oh, with all the sparks. Yes.
So revolutionary, dude. Everyone's like so hard in the pants over this thing that they've done a zillion fucking times, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. This shoulder tackle into an object is nothing new.
Yeah. Reba Sparks says, wow, that was very scary. I hope Lashley and Strowman are okay. Does that mean it will be a do-over with these two?
A do-over? she must have changed her name after she's seen all those sparks. Reba Sparks. Is that Reba McIntyre?
No. No, it's not. Sandra Ann Leeming says, sorry, I don't find electrocution entertaining.
She would have hated to see Goldust back in 2003 get electrocuted so bad that he fucking talked in a stutter.
Yeah. Jeff Spalding. He is probably balding, Jeff Spalding. he says, do you know, you people may think that's funny, but it ain't. They got burnt bad. I mean, just something you think is cute in any part of the show. No way, no how was that part of the show. Y'all need to think about that for you thinking that's cute. I ain't cute. That's sad.
So he basically said he's ugly. That's all I got out of this, that you ugly, son.
He's trying to say it ain't cute. They got burnt, dude.
They crispy. Bacon fried.
No way, no how was that part of the show. Can't even, dude. My God. Yeah, that one's great. Let's see. Michelle Bray, prayers these guys are going to be okay.
Prayers, yeah, they need your prayers. Thank you,
Samuel. Samuel Riccobono. If it was planned and staged, that was amazing. Otherwise, it's not good. Either way, I hope they are okay.
That's not good.
Are people this fucking gullible, man?
It seems like it, yeah. Well, see, these guys must be, like, been watching this WWE product for a long time, and just like they get one thing that like veers off a little bit from their standard deviation, and they're just fucking mind blown. It's like, what? Sparks? Holy shit!
Yeah, I guess, man. DRL says, has Hogan ever made a must-see match? Gave a clinic. I understand his icon status, but I think putting him on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling is a bridge too far. What are the standards? Fucking seriously?
Fucking seriously? Oh, fuck.
I thought that one was really good.
Some people's kids, man. Some people's kids.
Yeah. Let's see. Van Chalet Simmons, WTF. I don't think that came from Paul Heyman or anyone else's playbook. They really could have been electrocuted. That's nothing to celebrate.
I like to celebrate my electrocutions. If they had streaming of electric chair footage, I'd watch it.
Yeah, streaming live.
Yeah.
There is a push for live programming.
I mean, that's how get more gruesome than that. Like, you might not be able. It might move all of executions to after midnight. But hey, man, I'd stay up.
Yeah.
The electricity channel. Fuck yes. Just nonstop death every day. Fuck yeah.
Graves tweeted out. He was going to start a GoFundMe for his to pay his fine, you know, because he said shit.
Oh, Jesus.
And people, like, believe it wasn't part of the script.
Yeah,
even right? though, like, the show was on a 30-second delay. Anyhow, so this dude, Wrestling Talk DG, says, as soon as it left your mouth, I'm sure you knew it was coming. As a fan, I loved it. You were really into what was going on, and you proceeded to do your job, and now you have to pay a fine. Holy shit, dude.
Holy shit, dude. That's... Yeah. Like, they've never announced a fine on TV that was ever real. Come on, guys.
So I, like, yeah, I just got a quote tweeted that dude, and I'm like, you know, some people think this is real, which is funny. And then he responds, it's like, I wasn't even fishing. It's like, this motherfucker jumped in the boat, dude. You know? He says, unless the whole thing is a work about him paying a fine, I'd say whoever instructed him to say that through the headset should pay it. Just my opinion. Holy fuck, dude.
Like,
do you really think about what he's saying there?
Can you really get more dense than that? Like, it's like he didn't even read your question. Like, he thinks this is real, and then he's like, well, if it's not real, then whoever told him to say it should pay the, it's because it's not real.
Unless the whole thing is a work about him paying a fine, I'd say whoever instructed him to say that through the headset should pay it. Just my opinion.
Wow. Wow.
At Wrestling Talk DG. I bet that's a podcast. I bet it's really fucking good.
So you guys, the craziest thing happened this week on Raw.
Okay.
Lashley and Strowman went through the fucking barricade, through the wall, and sparks and stuff flew, and Corey Graves said, holy shit.
It doesn't seem like he's got a podcast, no.
Everyone has a podcast.
I don't see anything about any podcast at all. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
He just likes to talk wrestling. His bio says, I'm mostly here for wrestling talk, and I'm here to speak what's on my mind about the wrestling product that we are given. There you go.
Okay. And this week's winner, Mark Tank. Nick Delaney. The flying through the circuit board was planned. I don't think the explosion was to the extent that it happened.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Going through the board is planned and work, but explosions is not. And those explosions were so fucking dumb. It went on and on and on. I don't know if you saw that clip.
I didn't.
He didn't miss anything.
Well, but yeah, it's like a little gif, and I just assumed that that was it, honestly.
Oh, it's like fireworks kind of going off, like shit exploding for a minute at least. It was like, it was super weird, dude. It was super awkward.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I can imagine it being super weird, super awkward.
But yeah, some people, not everybody, but some people are like, oh, fuck Raw. It's like, it's just the same Raw, you know? Had like that open, which, you know, was, but they've done that before, right? I remember when Strowman tore down the whole thing on top of him, on Lesnar, and I mean, there's like the ambulance garbage truck thing. There's like, it's the same shit, dude. It's nothing to be excited about. And so people are like, oh man, Graves said shit. Attitude Era is back, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank God Attitude Era being back.
Yeah, same old fucking WWE bullshit. Next week is Extreme Rules, so there's that. Next week is also on Saturday is Fight for the Fallen from AEW. Also the Evolve 9.25-year anniversary show will be on the network.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a big weekend.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's all.
I'm assuming I know what you're going to watch. Actually, what would you watch, maybe? Would you watch the WWE Network one because you get it for free anyways, or?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Fight for the Fallen's free as well, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I thought it was. You got to pay for it in Canada. I know that.
I think it's the same deal as the last one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to pay for it here. It's $12.
Yeah, I think it's free on Bleacher Report. I don't know.
Well,
I'm going to watch
like
that
I'll
one.
I'll be using my VPN again.
There you go. Yeah, I'll be watching that one live, and then I'll watch Evolve after it, and I'll watch Extreme Rules fucking never.
Never. No. So I assume we'll be recording on a Sunday next week?
I have no idea. I don't know. We'll figure it out on Saturday.
Whether or not we got anything to talk about.
No, I don't know. Yeah, man, Sunday might be the way to go.
Yeah, yeah, because the bulk of the shows are on Saturday, so.
Yeah, that's cool. We've kind of been all over the place, just kind of trying to fit into what makes the most sense as far as
well, yeah,
having something to talk
there's
about.
There's been so much wrestling, so it's yeah. Like every weekend there's something. So it's like, do you want to wait a week to talk about AEW? Not really. So. Yeah.
So what's going down? Federation got a new episode coming out.
Buried Alive is out for Patreon subscribers to be out for everybody else on Monday. And that show basically it's the first Buried Alive match. It's really the only highlight to the card except for Vader putting his dick on Psycho Sid's forehead. So, watch out for that and subscribe to the Federation to hear more.
Boom, there you go. MoFudge.com, everywhere else podcasts are found. If you're listening to this show but not that one, I don't know what the fuck you're doing with your life.
Yeah.
Get on it. Suplex City Limits Network side of things. Pay-per-view take two. We just released our newest episode, Hardcore. No, not Hardcore Justice. Hard Justice 2009 on the network. And coming up next, 2010 Hardcore Justice. They ended the core in there. I guess this is some kind of
ECW one.
Yeah, it's going to be something else. So that's coming up.
I've seen that show. It's not very good.
Great. We also have a new show coming to the channel.
Yes.
The name escapes me right now.
For Horror podcast.
Yeah, it is. I'm like looking frantically like, yep. Come on, brain.
Hey, I mean, I did the logo, so I remember it. Don't you worry. Go.
We Live for Horror podcast, Jared.
Yeah, sorry, yes. They Live is the first episode they're doing.
Yeah. Jared and Bob? Not Coddle. It'd be great if it was Jared and Bob Coddle.
Jared, Bob Coddle, and Terry Funk.
When he puts the sunglasses on.
You know what that show needs, though? It needs at the end just like a 3-minute clip of Terry Funk and Bob Coddle talking about the show. So.
Yeah, check that out. The episode will be up this week on the Suplex City Limits Network. A lot of shit going on. So there's all that.
Are we going to go through the Slammiversary card at all?
It's tonight.
How many
people are going to listen to this before then?
That's true. That's true.
It's kind of a weird deal. I don't know.
It is.
Is there anything you're looking forward to on this show?
I am looking forward to Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard. I want to see who TJP's open challenge is going to be against, and I'm sure Brian Cage and Elle going to be a decent match.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what TJP has an open challenge. Huh?
Yeah. And then we've got the North taking on LAX and the Rascals, so that should be a fucking fantastic match. And Rich Swann, Johnny Impact should be a decent match as well. And then the women's match is a Monsters Ball match with Sue Young, Jessica Havoc, Rosemary, and Taya Valkyrie, which it's not going to be nothing to miss either. It should be good. The only match that really just doesn't seem like anything my style would really like is Moose and RVD and Killer Cross and Eddie Edwards. I'm just not interested in it.
The first blood match for Eddie Edwards and Killer Cross.
Yeah. I don't like this new Eddie Edwards character. Just this crazy guy. It's like, I'm crazy. I'm Eddie Edwards, but crazy.
Yeah, I'm like a super bland dude, but now I'm crazy.
Yeah, I wear a backwards hat now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I don't know. What else we got, man?
That's about it for me. I'm tapped out on my card.
Yeah, it's just a quicker show this week.
Yeah, we don't really have much to talk about. And plus, it's a Sunday. I would start to like watch some more Stranger Things, and then
yes,
I got to fix my car. So my car broke down. It's all that's why this show is so late. Really, basically.
Yeah. What are you going to do, man?
Yeah.
So, yeah, give some pods, shout-outs, some shout-outs to our friends In Search of My Lost Soul, hosted by our boy Bobby Anthem. I fucking forgot to listen to episode 2. I got to get to that.
It's a really good episode.
I'm sure it is.
It takes a right turn that's a very nice right turn at the end, or left turn. Whichever turn you like to take, that's the turn it took.
Very good. Wrestling Overdose with Shaheen, formerly of the THT podcast. Check that shit out. Nuclear Heat Graphics, pro wrestling art, horror art. You can get anything done, custom shit, at prices that will surprise you. So check that out. We also got our boys Get in the Corner, Inhuman Experience, Shooting the Shiznit, The Strap, Wrestling's High Marks, Regularly Scheduled Hostility, Comedy Suplex, and What's Up With, I guess, is a new show to the network with Smack It Down. So check that out as well. Also, did I say Comedy Suplex?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Shout out to them. So, yeah. I think that is gonna do it. I feel like we're forgetting shit, but, you know, what are you gonna do?
Whatever, man. You know, it's a Sunday. I'm stoned. It's before noon for me. It's afternoon for you, so yeah. Fuck it. We got our whole day ahead of us to just not think about what we forgot, so let's do that.
I'm gonna play Bloodstained and finish Stranger Things. I only got one episode left. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life when it's over.
It's a sad time, man. Sad time. I feel for you. I got like three, so... I'm okay for today.
There you go. As always, yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll talk. We're gonna be recapping a lot of shit, so we'll talk about this TNA show. Well, I always say TNA. I'm sorry. Impact. We also have the Evolve. Like I said, 9 1/4 anniversary show. Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen. God damn it. AEW's like. The way they name their shit really confuses me. Double or nothing, all out, all in. Yeah, it's fucking confusing, lads. So that'll be all coming up next week. So we thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Until then, may you get all the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you, and be excellent to each other.